We just completely dismantled the Dallas Cowboys and talked about how awful they are, how embarrassing this effort was yesterday. And everyone's got a different viewpoint. Is it the coach? Is it the 53-man roster? Personally, I think it's the owner. I think it always comes back to Jerry Jones. To get you an answer on that from someone much more informed than we are, here is our NFL insider from NBC, Peter King. I'm sure you're pointing fingers at the Cowboys like everyone else, Peter, but is there one person in particular that gets the finger point from you?
No, I don't think there's one. I think that at the risk of not saying something you're going to love, I'm going to say two things. One, this was a defense that was going to take a while to get to play well. And because the scheme is very complicated, they did not have an off-season program. They began practicing about August 1st, and they had to play a game 6 weeks later, and they looked like it. You know, they didn't know what they were doing for the most part on defense. That's the first part of it. But now that you're a little bit later in the season, they're playing better on defense. And that's bizarre to say after they gave up 41 to Washington, but that was a 20-16 game that never should have been 41 to whatever it was, 16, whatever, however it ended. And it ended that way because of a terrible, terrible decision by the Cowboys to, on 4th and 10, deep in their own territory, deep 24-yard line, when everybody in the world, for those of you in the listening audience who don't know the Dallas Cowboys coaching staff that well, they have a special teams coach named John Fossil on there. He's the son of the former New York Giants Super Bowl coach, Jim Fossil. And John Fossil is known in the NFL for trying a fake something or a weird special teams play on in every game. So when Washington comes into this game, they know that no matter what the play is, they're, you know, a special teams play, kicking game play, they're watching for the onside kick, they're watching for the fake punt, everything. Even on 4th and 10 from their own 24, they decide to do the fake punt. Mike McCarthy okays it, and you don't fake punt when everyone in the stadium or in everyone on the other sideline is looking for a fake anyway, and you're at your own 24-yard line. You need 10 yards. It's an absolutely terrible call. So at that time, it was 20-16, and then the route was on with, like, whatever, 12 minutes left in the game. Anyway, my only point is that the combination of taking a long time to learn the defense and losing Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott playing terrible.
Awful. Man, is he awful.
Awful. Awful. And not only fumbling losing five fumbles, he lost two all of last year, losing five fumbles in 11 games, one at a hugely inopportune time yesterday. I mean, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, to me, is not taking nearly enough blame for what's happened this year with this team. But I
would say,
what
the hell's wrong with him, Peter? Like, he just, what the hell is
very
going on with him?
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest, what Cowboy apologists and what Ezekiel Elliott apologists will say is that their offensive line is in huge trouble, and they got all these new guys. Absolutely, unequivocally right. Their offensive line is poor now and porous. But when you are a franchise running back and they're paying them whatever it is, $20 million a year, whatever, $18 million a year, your job is to lift the team when the team needs to be lifted. And he's done absolute zero of that all season. And he needs to take more blame in this, in my opinion.
Shifting to Detroit, what do you make of that circus there? I mean, Matt Patricia, I don't think there's a pencil that can go over his ear big enough to fix what's going on. It's just, it's a mess. I feel bad that they have to be on Thanksgiving every year because they're so bad. And I actually, I don't know if you agree with it or not, Stafford, I kind of feel for that guy because I think he's a talented quarterback. And I think if you put him at a program where just things were, I don't know, better, maybe he had to have a chance to have success.
Well, in my opinion, I would I disagree with you a little bit on Matthew Stafford. He's been the quarterback of – he was drafted after they go 0-16. And he's been the quarterback of this team for 12 years. And he played three games one year. He got hurt. But most of the rest of the time, he's been the quarterback every year through the season. And the Lions have not only not won a playoff game in that entire time he's been there, but they haven't hosted one. They haven't won a division since he's been there. And in my opinion, I think, like yesterday, I heard either Tony Romo or Jim Nance on the telecast call him underrated, and I wanted to throw up. I mean,
I just think he's talented. Underrated. I guess I'll just leave it at that. I think he's talented. He's got a hose. He can throw it.
I think he's very talented. But at some point, he's got to take a little bit of the blame. He threw, you know, in their 5-day ridiculous run, where they get shut out by a mediocre Carolina team with a quarterback starting his first game in the NFL. Lions get shut out on Sunday in Charlotte. Then they come back and have a horrible performance against a 3-win team from Houston. And in those two games, those 8 quarters, the first 7.5 quarters, your franchise quarterback throws 0 touchdown passes. I mean, I understand that it's a bit of a zoo. There's some mayhem going on. I get it. And I'm not throwing him under the bus or saying he's awful. All I'm saying is let's not absolve him of blame here either, even though, look, Matt Patricia is going to go. Probably the GM, Bob Quinn, is going to go as well. And the Lions have got to blow it up. The question now is, question I would ask is, Matthew Stafford next year is exactly 20% of their salary cap, 20% of the Lions' salary cap. So the question is the new GM, new coach, assuming that there's both, are they going to keep him? And I think it's a logical question to ask. Maybe they decide that they're going to trade him, or the new regime is going to trade him, get whatever they can for him, and start anew, because Stafford is, this will be the third straight year that the Matthew Stafford-led Lions, as well as the Patricia-led Lions, finish in fourth place in their division. I mean, it's Groundhog Day.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. And, I mean, it's been going on my whole life. It's been happening forever. The Detroit Lions are just a complete afterthought.
Can I just say one last thing? It's like, I was thinking about this yesterday, watching this game where they're getting their heads handed to them in the fourth quarter. And, you know, Thanksgiving has always been a big day in my family's life, you know, big family gatherings, except for this year. And I remember when I was a kid, I was 10 or 11 years old, sitting around watching Detroit lose to somebody 900-0. And I remember asking my father, why are the Lions on TV every Thanksgiving? Right. Why can't we see some other team? And I mean, I'm serious. That was 50 years ago.
Yep. It's just constant. Every 10-year-old in America, or throughout the world for that matter, asked the same question yesterday. Why are we still subjected to this garbage? But I guess they started the whole trend, and they're sticking to it, and that's fine. But what was a bummer was the game we all wanted to see play obviously got postponed, and that was Ravens taking on the Steelers. And now that has been pushed back to Tuesday, which means next Thursday, when the Ravens were supposed to play the Cowboys, clearly won't happen either. But Lamar Jackson testing positive is obviously quite significant. I mean, this is the first quarterback that I can recall testing positive, let alone a superstar on a team that is a loss or two away from maybe throwing away their season. What do you think their mood is like in Baltimore? Cam earlier in the year. That's right. But
I would, you know, there's a couple of things I think to, you know, to understand here. Number one is I wrote this in my column last May, and I just went and looked it up today. And I basically said people need to get ready. This is going to be an unfair season. I called it a holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, unfair season. That's what it's going to be. Somebody's ox is going to get gored. And right now, when you look at it, think of how the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting messed with now, okay? First of all, they had a bunch of players. I talked to Juju Smith-Schuster this week. He was fired up about playing the primetime game on Thanksgiving night. So they're not going to play that. And then they keep getting the game moved back, all right? And now they play on Tuesday. And then they have a short week to come back and play Washington, which has become a really physical, punishing, defensive team to play. And Washington now is going to have 10 days to prepare for that game and to rest because they played yesterday. So they've got 10 days to go. The Steelers only have 5 in between their most physical rivalry game against the Ravens, and then they have to prepare to play Washington. So the Steelers, I'll tell you what, if the Steelers go 16-0 this year, man, my hat's off to them.
Absolutely. That's a very valid point, and it feels like it's a possibility at this point. Always great catching up with you, Peter. Happy Thanksgiving again. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
There's Peter King from NBC. Yeah, I mean, that is something that we all have to accept and embrace, and I think we have. I think you're kind of preaching to the choir. People get it. In the moment, you get emotional or you get fed up or whatever, like, why isn't my team playing or why isn't this happening? But once you take a step back, you let it breathe, you're like, okay, I get it. You know, like COVID is running rampant in the NFL right now. Like, I just trying
think
to
about, well, think about what's going to go on the next 10 days after Thanksgiving, Christmas coming up. It'll be a gong show.
Yeah, and you look at the Ravens, have basically, they're shut down. The Rams, I believe, shut down their facility today. The Browns have not been in. The Jags are not in. The Niners are dealing with issues. The Broncos, I believe, are dealing with issues. Wow. Like, all of those are only the teams that I could find on the fly.
You know what's
next?
That are
dealing with COVID.
You know what's next? Basketball and then hockey. Because they're going to have to deal with it, too. They're sitting on the sidelines going, okay, we're watching these teams have to go through this. These leagues have to go through it. And, you know, unfortunately, it's you know, the NFL's having to deal with it right now. And it's everywhere.
Yeah. And you knew it was coming, right? Like, it's not like we weren't aware of what was coming. And you make adjustments. But now the schedule is starting to run out.
If you're not in a bubble, this is going to happen, period.
Yeah, it's going to happen until probably this time next year, basically. When if there's vaccines and all that and treatment and all that, then we get back to normal and you're not going to deal with it the same way. But for the foreseeable future, it's going to be a part of it. Look at the junior camp. Like, Canada's just not – they're shut down. They're in lockdown, basically. They're not going on the ice. They're not playing, nothing.
Yeah, I know.
Because of a couple of cases. So.